What is
biblical counseling?
Biblical counseling will grow you from brokenness to wholeness.
I think what you just said made me look at those scenarios differently.
God replaced all my junk with a beautiful light.
God's really been changing the way that I parent my children.
The most amazing thing is the sufficiency of His Word.
This is Transformed. And now your host, Assistant Professor of Biblical Counseling at the Master's University and Certified Biblical Counselor, Dr. Greg Gifford.
Welcome back to Transformed. My name is Dr. Greg Gifford, and we are discussing loneliness. In our last episode, we were just kind of working through, like, what are the typical patterns of loneliness? What are we talking about? I showed you that, you know, according to research, whatever Gallup polls mean to you, loneliness is a significant factor in American lives. And no matter how digitized we are, and no matter how connected we are via cell phones, text messages, social media, loneliness is still prevalent. And in fact, I wonder if this is not the proving ground for this, but I do wonder if our phones are actually making us more lonely and we're losing communication skills and we're kind of creating this alternate reality. But loneliness, nevertheless, it's prevalent. And if we just go with 20%, according to Gallup, or we just think like, hey, this is a common experience, I think most of us could just be candid and say, yeah, I've been lonely at different seasons. So we ended last episode by saying, well, how do you start to turn that corner? And I shared a little bit of how Paul describes his trials in Rome. So think of the multiple things that Paul has endured. He was imprisoned in Caesarea for 2 years. He was imprisoned in Jerusalem. During his first Roman imprisonment, he's shipwrecked, and then he's in Rome for 2 years. During his second Roman imprisonment, when he's writing 2 Timothy, there is this statement that he makes that's just very shocking. And listen to what he says to Timothy. This was 2 Timothy chapter 4. He said, "At my first defense, no one came to stand by me, but all deserted me. May it not be charged against them." What a heavy statement. If you're one of Paul's comrades, think of like Titus, Timothy, Luke, you read that statement and you're like, ah, ouch. You know, it stings a little bit. I was deserted. I was all by myself. And yet I don't hold that against him. You know, Rome isn't just around the corner and you can't just hop in an airplane and fly there during Paul's time. So recognize there's great challenges that come with actually being present in Rome with Paul. But what does he say, verse 17? "But the Lord stood by me and strengthened me so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. So I was rescued from the lion's mouth." During his first Roman imprisonment, we know that he's released. And he goes on to write the pastoral epistles and to do more missions work and church planting down in Crete. We know that this is true, that even though everyone else was not there, the Lord was there for Paul. That's a very important way to turn the corner on loneliness. Even though everyone else wasn't there, the Lord was there. Matthew 28:18. Remember the Great Commission where Jesus actually reiterates what God the Father told Joshua. Jesus says that I am with you. I'm with you wherever you go to the end of the age, I am with you. Jesus in his omnipresence is with us. That's what he promises the disciples. And this is what Joshua was told. Joshua is preparing to enter into the land of Canaan. He is now the leader, and God the Father promises him that I will be with you. I will not forsake you. I won't leave you. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, "Why are you content with your money?" The author of Hebrews uses that phrase from Joshua 1 and says, God is with you. Well, that may seem like a weird way to battle for contentment. But God is with you. That's why you're content. That's why you can bear with a little bit of money, or if the Lord gives you a lot of money this year, that you're still trusting him and seeking him first. Even Jesus's name, Emmanuel, means God with us. That's Matthew 1:23. God with us. Jesus incarnated, took on flesh. He gave up not his attributes, but he let go of his title. He let go of the place where he was, Philippians 2. Equality with God was not something he grasped, Paul says. He takes on the form of a servant. So don't take that to mean something weird like Jesus became less during his incarnation. No, he humbled himself, Paul says, by taking on the form of a servant and being obedient. Jesus is God with us. The first corner that you're turning when we're struggling with loneliness is that we are finding our fellowship. I hate to say the term relationship because it sounds so casual, and I don't want it to just be a casual thing. You're relating to God the Son and God the Father. But your fellowship with God the Father or God the Son or God the Spirit, you're saying, like, that is the first place that I need to battle my own loneliness. I need to be secure in who I am in Christ. I don't know if you've ever read the book Life Together by Dietrich Bonhoeffer. There's a quote, and I read this book probably upwards of 15 years ago, but this quote has just stuck with me throughout the years. Whatever you think about Bonhoeffer, listen to what he says. He says, "Let him who cannot be alone beware of community. Let him who is not in community be aware of being alone. Each by itself has profound perils and pitfalls. One who wants fellowship without solitude plunges into the void of words and feelings. And the one who seeks solitude without fellowship perishes in the abyss of vanity, self-infatuation, and despair." What a fascinating statement. If you are drawn to being by yourself, you need to be careful about that. If you're struggling to be by yourself, you need to be careful about community. One thing that I want to point out to you is that when dealing with loneliness, your first stop is actually not to cultivate relationships. Dating relationships, friendships, that's not the first stop. When you're lonely, you seek first of all to be in Christ and to focus on His presence with you. Jesus has told you He will always be with you. You have a Christ focus, a Christ-centered focus. We're not seeking that from people. In fact, I think if all of a sudden you start to seek that from people, you're going to be a very needy friend or needy boyfriend or girlfriend or needy spouse or whoever that relationship, needy parent of an adult child, needy parent of a young child. Like, you're going to be very needy. You're not seeking it from animals. And I know this may seem weird, but part of us listening to this, and this is not a West issue. We live in South Korea, and South Korea, more dog strollers were sold last year than baby strollers. So this is not a West issue. But you're not finding community in animals. You're not like, of course, there's weird aspects where you become the weird cat lady. Of course, it can become that, but that's not the primary reason you're avoiding that. You're saying that's not a worthy place for my fellowship and relationship. I'm not seeking it from work. Some of you bury yourself in work whenever you're lonely. And what that means is you go back to work, you do more work, you earn another degree. Thinking of it in a school context, you go back to the library, you keep chopping. The reality is that those are all false refuges to find fellowship and relationship. So you're not seeking it from those places, you're seeking it first from Christ. You're finding your fellowship with Christ or God the Father, God the Spirit, that you are okay being by yourself because you are with Christ in that way. And that sets you at peace and at ease. The next thing that I want to have you turn the corner on is the heart. And in biblical counseling, we talk a lot about the heart and what's going on in your heart. And, you know, like, what are you worshiping? Why are you doing the things that you do? We would use the Matthew 12:34, the root issue versus the fruit issue. What's really at the root issue of some loneliness? Well, are you a comfort worshiper? You worship comfort at the heart level. So you never really spend time with people. You kind of fritter away your time every evening watching Netflix. You don't want to go back out because it's cold and you got to get dressed again. You know, like, that's comfort loving. So why are you not experiencing any depth of friendship? It's because you love your comfort so much that you don't want to inconvenience yourself to cultivate friendships. Why are you not in a women's Bible study, men's Bible study, a small group? Well, I'm tired and I don't want to go back out. It's like, okay, but that's worshiping comfort. And that is what is affecting your loneliness. Or second, consider the worship of control. Are you super controlling? And the only type of people that can tolerate to be around you are very passive, easygoing people. And I think of that for myself. Like, I don't want to be so demanding with such high expectations that the only people that can be around me are really passive people. If you're a controlling person, you worship control, then just notice that people are going to be repelled by you, and the only ones that will be around you are quiet, very vanilla, easygoing people. So do you worship control, and that's why you're lonely? Or are you a people pleaser? What do I mean by people pleaser? You worship the approval of people at the heart level. And because you worship the approval of people, as soon as you get a new friend, it's like you're attached to them all of a sudden. That new friend is like your best friend in 2 weeks, and you would just want to hang out with them all the time. And they're like, I need some space, man. When you are a people pleaser, you often come across as very sensitive and very needy. Every little thing offends you. And we have to constantly say yes to hanging out with you in order to placate you. If you worship the approval of man, you're going to be needy and sensitive, and people are going to struggle to sustain a relationship with you. So over time, 6 months, 9 months, people pull back and you think, what did I do? Like, what's the matter? Well, you worship the approval of man, and that is what is the matter. So you're scaring off your friends. You're scaring them off. Why? Because you need them too much. We want to worship Christ, be found in him, be kind to others, but yet not need them. So we got to take a break. When we come back, I want to share a couple of practical strategies for addressing loneliness. We'll be right back.
And we'll be back with more from Dr. Gifford in just a second. And before we do that, let's take just a second and think about what's already happened here with what Dr. Gifford has been talking about. Because for some of us, I know this conversation hasn't been theoretical. It's like somebody opened a window on a part of your life that you try to keep shut. You know that feeling? You know what that's like? You're not necessarily in a crisis. You're nodding along. You understand because you know you chase comfort. You feel the weight of meeting people more than you should, but you also know the way to feeling alone more than you want to admit. And if that is you, let me say to you, you're not broken beyond repair. Absolutely not. I also invite you to read something that will give you clarity and understanding in these issues. That's Dr. Gifford's new book, Lies My Therapist Told Me. That's what it's all about. It's not a takedown of counseling. It's an actual biblical corrective, a way to sift through the noise of modern psychology and come out with the truth that actually frees you. That's right. You can pick it up right now at fortisinstitute.org/lies. Lies My Therapist Told Me by Dr. Greg Gifford. Pick it up right now. It is officially on sale. And maybe you've been listening today and you're thinking not just about loneliness, but you're also thinking about someone else that you would like to help, a college-bound kid, a friend who has been struggling, someone who wants to bring biblical wisdom into real life. Well, that's why the Master's University exists. If you know someone who is a high school senior, or maybe they've been talking about going back to school, the Master's University is a place they need to check out. Dr. Gifford is actually a professor there. He's not just talking about biblical counseling. He is on the front lines training the next generation of counselors to do it with clarity and care. You can explore the biblical counseling program or every program at the Master's University right now at masters.edu/transformed. And if you want biblical content just like Transformed every single day for free, the Fortis Plus app is where you've got to start. If you've not downloaded it yet, you are really, really behind the eight ball. You are. 7 new posts are added every single day. There's no paywall. There's no subscription, no nonsense or anything like that. Just teaching that grows you so you can strengthen the local church. It's absolutely free to download in your app store or at fortisplus.org. All right, well, let's get back now to Dr. Greg Gifford. This is Transform. Welcome back to Transform.
The Bible informs us that difficult events or circumstances are not the cause of our bad decision-making. Trauma merely reveals what is already in the heart.
And now your host, Dr. Greg Gifford.
Okay, welcome back. We've been talking about loneliness in the past 2 episodes. And in the prior segment, I said, look, you have to turn the corner. All of us experience loneliness at different seasons of life, but how do we turn the corner in dealing with it? Well, the solution is not to just go make friends. In fact, I think you might scare people off, be controlling, be a comfort worshiper, and that's going to affect your friends. Like, remember, that's not the solution. The first step is to find your community, your relationship in Christ. I don't mean that in a weird way, and I don't mean that in a seeker-sensitive way. I mean, your fellowship is ultimately with God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And when Jesus says, I will be with you, that brings comfort and peace to you. You're seeking for fellowship, first of all, with Christ, practically speaking, not my friends, not a girlfriend or boyfriend, not my spouse, fellowship with God, fellowship with Christ, fellowship with God and Christ through the Spirit. So now, how do I turn a corner to say, but what should I do? Well, remember the outworkings of loneliness. Loneliness is a fruit issue. It's not a root issue. So you really do have to dig at, why am I lonely? What am I doing? What am I worshiping? That's the root issue. So if you never deal with the heart issue, it's just going to reset. You're going to reset the clock for a new relationship that goes south, and then you're lonely again. By addressing the heart issue of you're worshiping comfort, you're worshiping control, you're worshiping people pleasing, then what you'll see is that that transforms my relationships and it transforms my relationship skills because I've had genuine heart change. So start with the heart change. If you're struggling with loneliness, start with heart change. What are you worshiping that's leading to loneliness? And if you don't address those things, I think you're just, it's a matter of time before loneliness comes back to you because the same root issue is still applicable. Now, once you've done that, think through a couple of just practical strategies. And I've tried to distill these down to three main strategies. I'm holding up my fingers for those of you that are listening. I don't know why I do that. Three strategies here. Okay, first of all, practical strategies for addressing loneliness. You in some way have to identify the group that is a priority for you. You are identifying relationships that you would like to cultivate, but you're also identifying a group of people, the types of relationships, the types of people that you want to cultivate a friendship with, that you want to cultivate relationships with. I think that some of you are in a situation like I am where we're right now, we're just at a very full season. So my life looks like Masters most of the time. And then Faith Community, it's my local church where I get to pastor, it's there. It's Fortis Institute. And then whatever else comes outside of that, you know, random meetings with alumnus, talking about counseling situations with churches, maybe teaching somewhere. And that doesn't include all of the personal, like caring of my family, where my boys are going to hang out with friends at the movies type thing. I could spend every week hanging out with someone different and not cultivating any meaningful friendships of depth. It could be this week, someone from Masters, next week, someone from Faith, the week after, a friend of my kids through school. Like, so what is it that you're strategizing to do? If you're lonely, you're identifying a place where those people are your priority in relationships, and you're going to make yourself available to those people where you want to build relationships. As I say that, the natural answer that you should be sensing is the local church. Your local church is the priority, the priority. Now, let me just give you a thought, because I've been at a church that was mostly older and we were the one young couple or like one of two young couples. I am a pastor who is okay with saying that your local church can change if your season of life is really hard to be at that local church. So for instance, when I was a youth pastor in Springfield, Missouri, there were probably 8 youth on a Sunday, and most of them were grandchildren of the people in the congregation. So my wife and I were newly married, working with the youth, but we really had one other couple that was our peers and nobody else. At your season of life, find a local church that fits your season of life, or stay at the local church that fits your season of life. It would be really hard if Faith Community Church didn't have a youth group and didn't have children's ministry. Like, my kids would struggle. And then if they didn't have a women's ministry, then my wife would struggle. Like, I just think of all of the challenges that would come by there not being similar people to our season of life. So is it okay to change churches at a season of life interchange? Yeah, I totally think it's okay. In fact, I think it could be wise. But just recognize that that happens maybe 3 times throughout 50 years. Like, you're not changing churches every 3 years because of every different season of life. So you're thinking, like, I'm identifying a local church that matches our season of life, and I'm going all in, like they are my priority. When you find that good local church, you're making yourself available to them. So number one, identify the group. Number two, you're spending time together with that people that you're prioritizing. Time together is the way that you combat loneliness, because time together is the way to build relationships. You cannot, and I know this is a very exclusive thing to say, but you cannot build relationships with people you don't spend time with. It ain't gonna happen. Even if you're talking on the phone or FaceTime, you still have to spend time together. So place yourself where you can spend time with people. Make yourself available. More time with people is the ingredient to cultivating a deeper relationship with those people. So for instance, last night, some friends text us and said, hey, we're going to Handel's, the ice cream place in town. Are you free? When you're cultivating relationships, it's like, ooh, can we go? We want to maintain. We love those relationships. We're going to do our best to go. Now, if a random alum from Masters, who I love, texts me and said, hey, Dr. Gifford, are you free on Tuesday night to go to Handel's to just kick it? I would say no, like, no, I'm not free. Well, why not? Because I have a priority of my local church, and then I have a priority of my life group, and then I have a priority of fellowship there. Do I kick it with alum from Masters? Yes, I do. But what is my priority? My local church. So you, once you have found that priority people in your local church, then you're trying to cultivate relationships with those people. And how do you do that? More time with them, making yourself available to them. Some of you are not close to people in your local church because you spend all of your time with people outside of your local church. Well, it shouldn't be a shocker to you why you feel distanced. Some of you have traveled the world, so you've picked up friends here and there from all over the place, and now you spend your time with those friends and not with your local church. What I would say is you have to turn that corner and say, who's your priority? Spend more time with people in your local church, and that more time, time together, is a skill that you cultivate. You know that you should be spending roughly once every week, maybe once every 2 weeks, with just that group you want to maintain friendships with. That's where I do think small groups and life groups are one of the best methods for ministry. One nugget in this context is if you're so exact in the way that you have to spend time with people, that people will slowly stop spending time with you. So if it's like, well, only on Monday from 6:30 to 7:30 am I free to hang out. And when we hang out, I want to go to my gluten-free restaurant. And then we got to go get the imported coffee beans 30 miles away. It's like, okay, no thanks. Never mind. Like, I'm good. If you are going to be so inflexible with the way you want to spend time, people will just slowly stop spending time with you. So you're saying, like, that's not my favorite thing to do, but let's do it. I just want to hang out. Board games are an example of that for me. I could, if I never played another board game in my life, I think I would actually praise the Lord more when I see him. So when we go over to a friend's house and they're like, you want to play some board games? I'm like, Jesus, take the wheel. Do I want to play a board game? No, but I want to hang out with you. And if you want to play board games, let's do it. All right. So bust out the board games and we'll go for it. I don't want to be so inflexible that I only want to hang out doing the things that I want to do. Okay, so time together, identify the group, spend time with that group, and then focus on timely and seasoned communication. What do I mean? Colossians 4, 6. Season your speech with grace. Let it be timely, winsome. Your regular communication is something that is an ingredient into maintaining relationships. If we only hear back from you when you need something, you're hurting the relationship. If you only call us when you need to borrow something, you're hurting the relationship. 100% you're hurting it. So cultivate, not an expedient, but a regular, I think is the word I'm looking for, an openness to communicate well. If you're struggling with loneliness and you have poor communication skills, you're going to perpetuate that loneliness. So timely, you're responsive. That's the word I'm looking for. You're responsive. We text you, you text back. You joke with us. You communicate. You just chit-chat. You have this conversational skill that makes it fun to be with you. That is what we're working on with regular, timely, seasoned communication. So the takeaways, identify the group, make yourself available to that group, and then cultivate godly communication skills to invest in those relationships. Let me pray for you guys. Lord, as we finish this series, I pray that all of us would just take comfort in Christ and that He would be our refuge and why we're okay. And we can be content in a group or content by ourselves. But Lord, I pray that those of us that are really lonely right now, that we would do something different. We wouldn't keep perpetuating the lack of relationship skills and perhaps just idolatry in our own hearts, that we would lean into relationships and get to experience the joy and the beauty. Our loneliness is telling us that something's not right. And I pray that the listeners hearing these episodes would really be able to say, Lord, help me to do something different. So give them the grace to do that, Lord. Help them to take that initiative. And may they get to enjoy the beauty of the body of Christ, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
This has been Transformed from Dr. Greg Gifford, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Transform with Dr. Greg Gifford, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.